countrywide on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Caller Gas, celebrating 80 years, bringing energy to Ireland's homes and businesses.
You know, when we come to look back on this terrible year of 2020, one of the stories that will stand out like a beacon of hope will be the rescue of two young paddleboarders in Galway Bay just over a week ago. The cousins, Sarah and Ellen, had spent the night at sea in heavy rain, thunder and lightning, with only their buoyancy aids and paddleboards for protection. They weren't even wearing wetsuits. They'd been blown out to sea from Furbo Beach and were rescued 15 hours later, clinging to two crab pot buoys between the Cliffs of Moher and the Aran Islands. Sarah Feeney is the older of the two, and we haven't heard her account ever before. But she called into Lorna Sigginson's home in Galway and had a chat with her about that long night in the Atlantic Ocean. And she began by describing conditions around 9 o'clock in the evening when herself and her cousin Ellen took to the water.
Everything seemed absolutely fine. It was nice. The conditions seemed fine. It didn't seem windy. The water felt still. And we just obviously hadn't realised how far out we'd gone. And then kind of went and looked and looked, oh, we're very far. And saying, oh, we better just turn around in case, you know, thinking of my mom had brought the dog and she was walking the dog on the beach and, you know, wouldn't want to be freaking her out or anything, so just best to turn around. And it was almost straight away then that we kind of realised that we had gotten into a bit of difficulty, because it was almost impossible to get the board to fully turn around, and each time we did it would nearly just do kind of 180 degrees straight away again. So then you're kind of realising this isn't a good situation.
At what point did you start to feel the cold then?
The weather stayed good for a while and the water wasn't that cold either. The water actually felt quite warm for a long time. And I suppose your body is kind of, with the panic and the shock, you're not feeling it for a while anyway. And it probably wasn't until after it got dark and the fear kind of sets in that you've realised this is really cold and it's not going to get any warmer. And yeah.
It was dark then when you heard the first boat.
We had seen the first initial boat and then not long after another, what looked like a bigger boat as well, and they're both kind of what almost felt like circling us. And then at one point one of the boats set off a flare, which felt like again that it was very close to us. You know, that light was so bright we thought even that light would be enough for them to see us. And then not long after that, then the helicopter came out, with the first helicopter.
So they were really close to you?
Yeah, well, it felt like they were, but, you know, when it's dark and stuff, and obviously there's so much water, it is very hard to judge the distance, but it felt like they were very close.
And you were yelling and...
Yeah, screaming. And obviously with the sound of the boats and the wind and everything, the noise just doesn't carry, but that's not something you'd think about. You think, oh, this is so loud, surely this can be heard from the beach even. And yeah, obviously the noise just doesn't carry. There's so much space, the water is so vast, and yeah, that's, you can't hear anything really.
Yeah.
And a huge thing on my mind the whole night was, nobody gets out of this situation. Earlier on in the night it was definitely like, oh, they'll have us, but after each time that a boat feels like it's passing you or the helicopter goes over you and they don't see you, you realize then that it's a lot more serious than you initially thought. And you know, lots of people don't get the ending that we did in that situation, so it's definitely on your mind the whole time.
But you kept it together.
Yeah, as much as we could, you know, just, I think as well, because the two of us were there, you're doing it for yourself, but also the other person. Like if I had started talking like that and, you know, freaking out and panicking and crying, that makes things a million times more difficult for Ellen, and it would have been the same the other way around. Like I wouldn't have been able to hold it together if she had been in a state of panic. So it was, you know, I definitely think you're doing it for the other person as well, as much as yourself.
Right, okay.
Yeah. We're very, very lucky that the two of us managed to stay together.
Right.
And we're able to to keep it together.
Yeah. And the last time you'd seen a boat or a helicopter had been during the night.
Yeah. We didn't see anything for a long time the following day. And obviously that's the one thing that we had in our minds the previous night, is we just need to wait until it gets bright and everything will be much easier. You know, the fact that the boats and the helicopters had come what felt like so close and hadn't seen us, you kind of realised they're not going to get any nearer than that, so we were not going to be found when it was dark. So the whole time just waiting for that, the light to come, and holding on to hope then that everyone would be looking first thing in the morning and that they'd spot us no problem.
Right, okay.
It was definitely really concerning to me that it had been bright for hours at this point, and that we hadn't seen anyone. So you're kind of starting to think then, are we just too far out? You know, are people, maybe they don't realise that we could have come this far, this direction. And it was terrifying, to have those thoughts. And you're obviously thinking as well that they're probably going to have assumed a certain outcome at this point. You know, when the first light hit and we hadn't been found, I'm obviously very aware what our families and friends and everyone is thinking, and they probably weren't thinking that they'd find us in the condition we were in. And you're kind of afraid then, maybe does their search tactic change? Are they looking more along the beach for us to have washed up? You know, I don't think our families anyway would have been expecting us to be as okay as we were.
Yeah. So even though you were on the boys, you didn't have a great sense of relief. It was just more that it gave you a break.
Yeah, pretty much. Even just for our bodies, because it takes a lot to be paddling against the wind and against the waves that are pushing us back the way. So at least then we were able to just take a break as much as we could.
So then you probably had no idea of the time of day when you saw this outline of the boat?
No. It had been hours since the light broke, and that was obviously the only kind of concept of time, well, when there was some kind of visibility that it must be shortly after 5, and then as the sun came up, okay, it's after 6. But after that, then you don't really have any concept of time. So it was only that it was what felt like hours and hours after that I spotted what looked like the outline of something. I probably didn't even realize that it was a boat at that point, because it was so far away and so small. At that stage of kind of exhaustion, you wouldn't know if your eyes are seeing things or whatever. But it was only then that it came closer and I kind of realised that's definitely a boat. I said it to Ellen and we extended out the paddles as far as they go, as high as they go, and just started waving them and hoped that they'd see us, they'd spot us. And obviously they did, and they got closer and closer. And when it hit that they were right in front of us, that's when the relief hits in, and it was just total disbelief and shock. And it was almost like the reality of the whole night kind of hits you all at once like a ton of bricks. And yeah, they got us then. You know, when you're out there, you're thinking that all these people are going to be looking, and you nearly have it in your head that when they do find you, if they find you, that you're going to be in some sort of trouble, the stress and everything that you cause people. And they were just so kind. The instant that we were on the boat, just feeling so safe. Yeah. And they were just so wonderful, and like that, every bit of clothes they had, they're tucking us in, making sure we were warm. They gave us their hats, like everything. They had food, drinks, everything. We were so well looked after, as if them taking time out of their day and deciding to come out to look for us wasn't enough. To be met with that kindness and feeling of safety was just incredible. Right. These people that go out and take time out of their own lives without hesitating and put their own safety at risk to go out and look for people that they don't know, you know, these people really are heroes.
And that was Sarah Feeney talking to Lorna Siggins. It really is an extraordinary story. And Sarah and Ellen, so brave, so courageous. We're so delighted that you're safe and well. And they, in turn, are very grateful to Patrick and Morgan Oliver and all those who took part in the air and sea search for them. And Sarah reminds us that if you are going out on the water, wear a buoyancy aid, a personal locator device, and carry a light. Maybe what makes this story so compelling is that it shows us that even in our darkest hour, we can still rely on the kindness of strangers.